ברוכים הבאים לפודקאסט של שפות שלי, אני אריאל, ברוכים הבאים. אנחנו בית ספר לאנגלית ושפות נוספות, אתם כאן כדי ללמוד אנגלית and learn some new tools and skills. אז לכן אני כאן היום עם ג'וש again. How are you, Josh?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Ariel?
I'm doing great. Josh is one of our elite pedagogy teachers at שפות שלי, also part of our business operations with so we're gonna talk about it. It's got a lot of interesting insights which he brings as well into the lessons. I'm actually excited to hear this.
To listen to this in advance, let's say
to hear what you have to say and to make sure it's professional. So we're doing this live.
We're doing this one take, and one take is real.
And I'm excited to hear what you got to say. Today we're going to talk about parasocial relationships. So, אם אפילו באנגלית, זה מילה קשה מאוד. זאת אומרת, הייתי צריך לשאול את ג'וש, what is it, Josh? What is it?
So, we can break it into the word, we can break into three words, I suppose. So, we have para, and then social, and then relationship, right? So, we know what a relationship is. Relationship is a...
מערכת יחסים.
מערכת יחסים, right? Now, social, חברתי, and then the word at the beginning, we have the word para. And that is like the word parasite. What is a parasite?
Parasite ze parasit.
What is a parasit?
Parasit is somebody who just takes leeches on or is obsessed with something, let's say.
And in biology, it's an animal or an amoeba or a worm or something that lives off of another animal. It lives, it gets its sustenance and its food and its survival from something else, right? It doesn't necessarily work hard
for it. I just remembered now. There was an interesting fact my kid shared with me. My kid is around 10 years old, and he's always, I actually have two boys. One of them likes a lot of general knowledge and stuff like that. And he told me there's a shark who's got his own, like, teeth cleaners.
Yeah.
It's fish that swim with him.
Yeah.
And those fish would be, they've got like a sort of a natural agreement.
Yeah.
Where the shark doesn't eat the fish, but the fish would then clean the shark's teeth off to eat.
So I wish I had it's not in my head right now, but there's a different term for that. Actually, it's not considered a parasitic relationship because the shark benefits from it. So it's like a mutual.
It's on
the idea right now. A parasocial relationship is obviously not having to do with eating from someone's teeth. What it is when, you know, in this day and age, a lot of people, instead of, you know, watching TV, but even on TV as well, or watching, you know, shows on TV, they'll watch either Netflix or they'll have an influencer or a YouTuber that talks or someone on a podcast that they listen to a lot, right? And what happens is when we listen to someone or we see their face a lot, we get used to it. And over time, we start to associate with it kind of on a personal level, right? So if any of you listeners have ever had this experience where you were watching a movie or watching your favorite character do something and there was a situation that you knew was going to be good, but it hasn't happened yet, and you get excited because you know what's going to happen. You're excited for the character. You're excited to see what will happen in the sense where it's not just the story, but you're more relating it to the person itself. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a parasocial relationship. You're reacting to it almost like a friend would, right?
Okay.
So this is this idea that, you know, Mr. Beast is a great example. So for those of you who are out there who are parents, probably are not familiar with Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast is a YouTuber.
One of the biggest.
One of the biggest.
I think he's a billionaire. I guess the value of his YouTube channels is in the billions.
Yes. He's a very, very, very famous YouTuber, and he's actually a philanthropist. But basically, his whole platform is, you know, making videos where he does some sort of challenge, or he, you know, spends his money in a strange way, gives to charity or does something, right? And he's a very, very friendly person. And something I've noticed with my younger students, as well as just in general, is that everyone seems to talk about him like he's their friend, right? Everyone seems to have this kind of notion that he's like a really friendly guy. And maybe he is, maybe he isn't, right? But this feeling of sort of entitlement to... I know him, which is very, very strange, I think.
I think it's happened, like, at least to me specifically, we have connected with public people.
Mm-hmm. Public figures.
Public figures or people that are very influential.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would read on the news or something would come out about them doing certain actions. Mm-hmm. and that would be completely devastating because it doesn't align with your morals.
Yeah.
And then you can't, you're saying, so this is like a parasitic relationship because they, people identify with this person, mm-hmm. people connect with this person, it makes them feel emotionally in a certain way.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they find out sometimes it could be that this person is just a persona.
Yeah.
It's not really him at all. He's not Mr. Beast. It's Mr. Pussycat instead. So you don't know who you're really dealing with because sometimes it's just a persona that's being portrayed and that's their sort of job or position. Sometimes, you know, it happens in love with actors. You would see an actor portraying a certain role many times over, then you see an interview with him and he's by nature completely different by character. It could be that sometimes he's portraying a capitalistic point of view in his movies.
Yeah.
And he's a total hippie in real life.
Yeah.
It's happened many times. I've seen interviews about specifically in the creative field, like acting. It happens a lot.
Can you give an example?
I'm trying to think. I think that maybe Robert Downey Jr. in a few ways.
Yeah, he seems like a person that would be very kind of frightening to talk to, I think, a little bit intimidating.
Yeah, and he's completely
he's a very friendly
guy. Yeah, the character of him in real life is like completely different when he gets interviewed. Another one is who really shook me up a little bit was Joaquin Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Joaquin Phoenix portrays a very certain persona on screen. If you've seen Batman and the Joker specifically, he's very talented. But then in real life, his persona is very different to what is portrayed. Another one is Matthew McConaughey. I'm not going
to get but I love it.
I don't want to get too much in the details of it. But another one is Matthew McConaughey. Also think he's got a few character screens where I've been actually shocked by the difference in the person in real life than to what he is on screen.
Wow. That's my favorite Matt
McConaughey. Yeah. So that's pretty interesting. Okay. And how do you see that? Like, you see that as something that is detrimental? Why would you call it parasitic?
Well, so this is a very good question is that, you know, it's not necessarily the most parasitic thing when we think of maybe in terms of biology. However, you know, it's also not healthy for the individual, the person that's being idolized, because, you know, people come up to them, people treat them as kind of entitled to certain things, like they feel that they're their friend, which obviously can be, putting the person off. But the bigger, I think, pictured here is the fact that, you know, it's kind of considered normal to have this feeling of camaraderie. What's a camaraderie?
Camaraderie is a sort of achdut.
Achdut. That's this feeling of camaraderie towards people or, you know, individuals, groups even, that we don't actually know. We have zero connection to in real life, right? And I find that kind of strange. It's just something that is kind of noted. I mean, you know, I've been on this podcast a few times, and every now and then, you know, I'll have a student that, you know, comes in like, oh, you're Josh, right? And it's a little bit strange to me because I realize that they kind of know me in some sense. They're already familiar to my voice. They're already familiar with how I speak, right? As well as certain things about me. And so when I start introducing myself, it's like they say, yeah, I already know that.
It's very, very shocking.
It's a little bit shocking, sometimes. And I mean,
I just want to tell our listeners that whatever image Josh portrays on the podcast, he's a lot more boring in real life.
Yeah, a lot more boring in real life.
I'm joking. Listen, I'm kidding. In real life,
I'm a normal person.
He's a normal person, but he's very unique. So, and the uniqueness comes across on the podcast. It does. I've listened to a podcast. I mean, you do a couple of times.
Yeah.
I actually have to listen to them a couple of times over.
Yeah.
And what I can say is that in real life, you're a lot more unique and genuine even, but you try to be as genuine as you can even on the podcast. But in real life, I think it's amazing because you do have the quality. And I think the people who've met you, who've studied with you.
Oh, thank you.
I've done courses with you at our school. Have always come across, have never been disappointed by the persona they met in real life.
Yeah.
I think you generally have a high moral code.
Yeah.
I think that you try to have everyone's human.
Yeah.
Everyone's got faults. And that's why sometimes when we see like public figures or people that I've idolized, I would say, break that moral code, and sometimes could be devastating for the people that follow them. And therefore, if you are a public figure, I mean, we're far away from being public figures.
Yeah.
But if you are a public figure, I mean, you know, maintaining just that should be a big let's say border for you.
Yeah.
I'm intending your moral ethics just for your followers.
Well, that's so when you asked before about what the parasitic aspect of a parasocial relationship, it's the fact that the person needs to oftentimes the person that's being, you know, perceived as a friend, the superstar, the personality, they have to continue it. And it's at the expense of maybe their happiness or, you know, what they truly, how they truly want to express themselves, right? So that in that sense is the parasitic aspect. But I would argue truthfully that the parasitic relation, the parasocial relationship is a lot more detrimental to kids and socialization because they develop a perception of sort of what friendship is. And if it's a parasocial relationship, you're not really putting that much effort into it either, right? You're kind of passively watching a person.
Oh, here we go. This is an interesting topic.
And so maybe, you know, and this is just, you know, speculation, but, you know, if you get gratification, a similar gratification of, you know, spending time with friends and seeing and enjoying time, you know, talking and enjoying yourself versus if you get the same gratification from watching a YouTube commentary of your favorite YouTube streamer, you know, enjoying himself, you know, you kind of are limiting yourself to being antisocial, actually, right? You're not actually socializing. You're just viewing someone socializing, right?
And so what Josh is trying to say is don't just listen to him on the podcast. Come study with him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kidding.
No.
What I want to say.
I like what you said, though.
That this is important. I want to just bring up this point because I think that what you're talking about is life today is full of quick dopamine releases.
Yeah.
We're going to do a podcast about it sometime when we have a chance. I'd like to do it with you, Josh, specifically, because this is a very deep topic.
Sure.
That people to this, if anything that gives you gratification and doesn't require a process, whether it be a relationship, whether it be an encounter with a friend, whether it be in the work, in an office, whether it be fitness, whether it be dieting. Everything requires a process. I mean, I've seen people using on a diet these injections. All of a sudden, I've seen people around the office losing like 20, 30 kilos of weight. I'm still fat.
Yeah.
Lolly dog. But I've seen people.
Lost some weight,
actually. I'm trying to like, don't really. I'm still the same weight I've been. I'm still decently overweight. And what I want to say is I've been seeing people around me, like literally like magic mushrooms, but boom, losing weight, like in quick in a month. They're down, significantly down in weight. And those people, and I've asked them, so how did you do it? Because they don't seem to be the sort of people who have the determination or the time or have the time, and let's say the mental toughness to go through that. Because I'm always working on my mind to improve, to try to be a little bit mentally tougher, to be more relaxed and not to get the pressure get to my head, to be more constructive, to have a more set time frame. And what's happened, you know, they're telling me they're using these injections to be, you know, to
use. What is that work? What is that?
They actually have, it's called Spravato. It's like an injection that you put in your thigh or something like that. And this injection, and actually it's like insulin and sort of regulates your sugar. Oh, really? The body. And people, you can actually, they don't cut back on food, these guys. I mean, they've been eating the same what they're eating.
Their body, their metabolism.
Everything changes somehow. I don't know the biology behind it, but they're losing a lot of weight. There's got to be risks involved.
Well, yes, there can't be.
It's FDA approved and medicine is not pushing it pretty hard, but I presume there are long-term effects. For sure, there will be. And there's nothing more than having your own fate and your own body in your own hands and your mind actually saying, you know what, I'm actually going to eat a little bit less or keep a healthier diet and lose weight the right way. Then take that dopamine, you know, if you want to compare it to a quick release, is like, okay, now I'm skinny. I was fat, but now I'm skinny. Yeah. So you got that quick dopamine release, or people, if we can compare it to, let's say, also porn, things like that, which give you a quick dopamine release, drugs, pornography, things like that, are generally, there will be
video games
that will be detrimental to you in the long run.
Yeah.
If they're abused, obviously, but you know, everything, they say everything in balance works. I'm not so sure, but that's what they say.
So remember we had a podcast not too long ago, where we discussed AI, actually, right? And we kind of spoke, I believe, about merit, right? And building a work ethic, right? When you have to look in a dictionary, right? You have to go and look for a word. It takes time. You have to, you know, find the right word as far as alphabetically, right? And you know, all of those processes kind of build character. You kind of develop this understanding that you need to work to get a result, right? And think about also how, you know, when kids develop parasocial relationships with influencers or YouTubers, they don't really have to go through the process of making a friend, of actually trying to socialize and pick up on cues and understand that certain things aren't appropriate and stuff. And especially when you're watching, you know, content that's been curated or created and edited, you know, sometimes there are themes and acting that isn't really appropriate for actually making friends. But because it's, you know, Mr. Beast or it's a video or something, you get this perception that, oh, that's okay, because within my parasocial relationship, this is what I'm seeing. Right.
Of course. Any decent result takes effort, takes time, and generally money as well. That's generally
that's where Mr. Beast comes in.
That's the process. You know, that's how life generally works. And I want to ask you a question. What do you feel has defined, like, your professional work ethic? Like, what do you feel has given you the, because I've known you now a couple of years. I've seen you on highs and lows.
Yeah.
I'm talking about on a not only on a professional basis, but on a personal basis as well. How do you manage, like, even on your darkest days, to keep that work ethic intact? I mean, you know, I work with you together and I try to give you a hand and drive you to do it. But what gives you that professional framework to keep going? Because normally, sometimes I know that, you know, everyone knows that you have a very high professional standard, meaning that in relating to what's going on, you're very committed to succeeding. You're very committed to bringing your students the best. Yep. Really, you do. You give them 100% the best. Very rare that it's a one in a million teacher, okay? Yep. So my question to you is, what gives you that work ethic to keep doing it?
Flow. Flow. So this is the thing, is I've come to realize that every time that I've tried to take a step back and think about, I don't know, you know, financial aspects of the job, or, you know, networking aspects of the job, or opportunities and stuff like that, in the sense of, you know, get to meet new people. So those are all awesome things. However, the best, you know, thing that keeps me on track is actually kind of forgetting those things and just focusing on the client, on the student itself, right? It's an amazing thing. I've gone through ups and downs. This past spring was a little bit difficult for me, some personal things going on. But you know, what was very much kind of a savior for me was being able to teach, right? As soon as I got online, as soon as I got in person with a student or on Zoom, you know, all of these other issues kind of melt away, because I'm here to work with someone. I'm here to help them. And that aspect is kind of what keeps me in my element, that flow with it, right? You have to kind of keep things moving. Sometimes I have students, it's another great example, but sometimes I'll have students where, you know, again, professionals, they have their own things going on in their life, and they'll say, you know, I have to leave the lesson 20 minutes early because I have to drive somewhere. And instead of being like, okay, that's it, I say, no, how about we turn this into an opportunity, right? Let's talk about your drive, right? So obviously I don't want to be in a Zoom meeting and have them looking at me on my screen. So what I say is, turn your camera off. I'll turn my camera off and let's go. You can drive to wherever and we'll talk during the car ride, right? And during that car ride, I will use whatever opportunity is. If they're already talking about a subject, then we'll talk about the subject. If they're kind of blank-minded, I'm going to ask them about where they are and talk about everything that they see. And if they're familiar with the area, what do they think about the area? There's always a path you can take for creating discussion. And that aspect is what keeps, you know, the lesson going, and that flow, right? As soon as you have silence or this kind of, you know, quiet, you get stuck. Time goes slower, right? And that's the purpose. It's not the purpose to make things go faster either, but the purpose is to make things go smooth.
The purpose to make it smooth and give me as much value as you can to the student.
Exactly.
And you have a couple of amazing drills that you've been doing. You know, to also incorporate Hebrew and take the student to the next level.
And Arabic.
And Arabic as well. You also know Arabic fluently, which is amazing. And I just want to say that, that is amazing, because that, like, sort of, it's pretty inspirational. I'm inspired now. I'm inspired to finish this podcast and go out there and eat the world.
Eat the world and get back to doing work. Well, getting in the flow, I'm very much looking forward to today. I have a lot of really fun lessons coming up.
All right. So enjoy your day today.
Yeah.
It was good seeing you on the podcast again. And we're here. Okay. This is the specifics of our service.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys benefited from this podcast. If you'd like to write us about some ideas that you'd like us to talk about, we have a lot of interesting stuff that we also incorporate into our lessons.
Yeah.
which requires a bit of deep thought. We like to call it critical thinking.
Yeah. Not critical theory, critical thinking.
Critical thinking.
Yeah.
All right. אז שיהיה לכם שבוע נפלא. Thank you, Josh. I enjoyed this podcast. Hearing it live was pretty exciting, and I can know what the social parasocial relationship is on the listener side. I'm connected.
Yeah.
I feel much more connected to you now than I did in the beginning of the podcast. I think you may have turned me into a parasite. All right. So, Yelechem Shavua Nifla, keep learning, keep pushing yourself forward. Never give up. Sometimes a new skill, like a new language, can seem like an insurmountable task, a difficult task. משהו קשה מאוד.
Yeah.
People tend to think to themselves, oh, אני יש בעיה, אני לא חכם, אני לא יכול, קשה לדבר, קשה להבין, אני לא יודע לעשות שיעורי בית, אני לא יודע לעשות את זה. But stop with the excuses. I'm saying this to myself as well, because I have a few big things planned coming up, which I'm very afraid of. And I will share that to you with you, Josh, on a personal level. I've got a few like personal changes that I'm doing, which are bad habits to break.
Yeah.
And I've set deadlines for them. And I will deal with it, because I'm approaching it differently this time than I did before. I think this time I will manage, because it's all about the mindset. All right. Thank you, Josh. תודה רבה.